Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
And this is one of the reasons that a lot of people aren't seeing greater manifestations of the things of God, because your own heart, your conscience, is condemning you because you constantly are violating what God tells you to do. Whoa. Yeah. You aren't going to prosper if you do that. Here's another scripture in Romans chapter 2, verse 15. It says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. So Romans chapter 2, verse 15 describes the function of your conscience, what it does. It is the part that either accuses you or excuses you. Your conscience is the part that condemns you or the part that gives you confidence. Your conscience can actually build you up, or it can tear you down, depending on whether it's a good conscience or an evil conscience. Those are all scriptural terms for it. And many people just don't understand this, and they aren't dealing with their conscience. But your conscience, it either gives you confidence or it condemns you. It'll either make your faith shipwreck or it'll help your faith to obtain things. You've got to deal with this conscience. Amen? All of us have one. So the very first fruit of Adam and Eve's conscience, when the conscience came unto them, their perception changed. They began to see things differently than they had ever seen it before. They became self-conscious, looking at themselves. They entered into shame and they entered into fear. All of your fear, all of your shame comes from a conscience. And did you know that to a large degree, the world recognizes this? They may not call it a conscience, but they're aware of condemnation. If you get into psychology, they'll talk about guilt, shame, feelings of unworthiness. This is what leads them to say that you have to have a positive self-image. You have to have a good self-image. And I mean, we now, kids don't, you know, they don't compete and nobody wins or loses. Yeah. Because they want everybody to feel good about themselves. You know, my granddaughter came home and she had some little award, and it was, do you remember the exact word? But anyway, she won this award, and so my son said, what was this for? And says, well, all of us got this. There weren't any winners or losers. We were all winners. And boy, my son got that and threw it away. And he said, that's wrong. He says, somebody won and somebody lost. He says, you need to face the facts that some people are better at things than you are. But see, we've got this little thing in our world today where we don't want anybody to feel bad. You know what? That's wrong. That's wrong. We're trying to make everybody feel good. The way that you're supposed to feel good isn't by just making everybody else as bad as you are or tearing other people down. See, this is what a lot of people do. Instead of, you know, coming up to your level, they'll just tear you down and put you down to where they don't any longer feel any conviction. And this is just andiology. I believe it's true, but this is my own personal opinion why the homosexual lesbian agenda is so vicious. Because their conscience is condemning them. And trying to deal, they aren't dealing with this conscience through the Word of God and purging themselves and receiving forgiveness. What they're trying to do is to make everybody reinforce them and tell them that this is just totally normal and acceptable. And it's the reason they're so aggressive, so militant with it, is because it's their conscience that's driving them in all of these kind of things. And they don't understand that the way to get your conscience purged isn't to defile it and to numb it and to just compare yourselves among yourselves along with everybody else. Instead, it's to go to the Lord, and the blood of the Lord Jesus will cleanse your conscience and purge you from an evil conscience. Man, it'll take away all guilt, all shame. And so the way to get rid of shame isn't to make everybody just equal and to say that everything's okay and it doesn't matter what you do. It's the way to to get rid of an evil conscience isn't to change the rules and change the standards. Those standards are there for a purpose, and you need to feel guilty. You need to feel rotten when you go out and murder somebody and when you do things. You should feel rotten. Amen? God didn't create us to be that way, but after the fall, every person has a conscience and it serves a purpose, and the purpose is to let you know that you are a mess and you need a Savior. Amen? And you need that. And there is a right use of the conscience, and our society is doing everything they can to deaden people towards a conscience. And sad to say, even a lot of Christianity, quote unquote Christianity, religious Christianity, is doing the same thing. They won't say that there's things that are right and wrong. Everybody's okay. I'm thinking of a couple of people right now who are very well known who will never come out and say something is sin because they don't want anybody to feel bad. If you're living in sin, you should feel bad. You shouldn't continue to feel bad. You ought to take it to the Lord and get it purged and forgiven and get free from that guilt. But I'm saying that if you haven't repented and if you're still living in sin, you ought to feel rotten. You are rotten. Amen. I know some of you think, well, I thought you preached grace. I do, but grace doesn't change the fact that people are sinners. Grace just loves them and extends mercy to them even in the midst of it. You know, Jamie and I had lunch with Janet today, and we were talking about this homosexual issue and stuff like this. And it's a problem because if you say, she was talking about some of the people that she's helping whose children are homosexuals, and they love their child, they don't want to reject their child, they're always going to love them, but how do you love them and not accept their lifestyle and not approve of it and in a sense endorse it and encourage that? It's gotten to a place that if you tell a homosexual that what you're doing is sin, they immediately say, you hate me and you're condemning me. I'm not condemning them, it's their own conscience that's condemning them. Just because I disagree with it doesn't mean that I'm a hate monger. Matter of fact, it says over in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 17. Most people know Leviticus 19, 18. You may not know where it's located, but you know what Leviticus 19, 18 says? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus quoted that. And people know that verse and they talk about that, but they miss verse 17. Verse 17 says, you shall not hate your neighbor in your heart, but you shall in any wise rebuke him and not suffer sin upon him. Amen. That verse is saying in love, the next phrase is love your neighbor as yourself. It's saying that if you love a person, you'll tell a person the truth. And if you sit there and say, well, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to be a hate monger and I don't want to condemn anybody, or something like that, then you can whitewash it any way you want to, but you know what? You aren't telling people the truth. It's the truth that sets people free. Love doesn't set people free. The truth sets people free. Now, the truth has to be spoken in love. You can do it wrong. We've all seen examples of people that use the Bible like a club to just beat people and to hurt them, and that's not right. But the truth needs to be spoken in love. And the truth is what sets people free. And if you don't tell a person the truth, you hate them. And yet many Christians feel like, well, I'm just not going to say anything because I want to walk in love. What you're doing is walking in love for yourself. You don't want to suffer the persecution. You don't want to suffer the rejection. You don't want to suffer somebody rolling their eyes at you. You know, there was an instance where I was driving home one night, and I live up in the mountains, and it was a mountain road, and it was steep, and it was on a curve, and it was foggy. You couldn't see from here to the back of this auditorium. You could only see about half that distance. And I was going about 50-something miles an hour. It was a four-lane divided highway, and I was going about 50 miles an hour. And a guy just passed me like I was standing still, and got just a little ways in front of me, and then his lights came on and his car jerked. You could tell that he had hit something. And so I slammed on my brakes and I came to rest right next to him. I was on the shoulder, he was in the right lane, and in this left lane was a horse that he had hit. And this horse came up and landed on the windshield and caved it in, and he was laying in his car just bloody and had all kinds of, injuries and stuff. And I got out of the car and I was standing there looking at him. And while I was looking at him, a Suburban came around the corner and it was going about 60 miles an hour, and it hit that horse that was laying in the road, and it launched that Suburban about 5 or 10 feet high in the air and maybe 20 feet long. And then that Suburban hit and this woman was able to control it. I ran up there to see how she was doing, and she had knocked a hole in the roof where her head had gone through the roof. And so anyway, it was a bad situation. It was foggy and everything. So what I did, I ran back down the road around the corner before anybody could see this wreck. And it was foggy, like I said, it was dark at night, and I started jumping out in front of cars. And I mean, they were going 55 and 60 miles an hour, and you could only see just a few feet. And so I was jumping out in front of these cars, and they were nearly hitting me, and then I'd have to jump back off the road, and they would skid and slide. People slid off the road. People stopped and screamed and yelled at me, called me every name in the book. But when they got around the corner, they saw what was going on and they realized that I was saving their life. And I bet you all of these people who cussed me out and waved at me with one finger probably were thanking me and blessing me as they got on up the road. And you know what? If you really love people, you will sit there and do something like that. But somebody would say, well, people, these women, they might think that I'm trying to flag them down on a dark road. What might they think of me? And so I just let them go and let people get killed. It was like 30 minutes before the cops got there.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the human conscience. This new teaching titled, Who Told You That You Were Naked? Is available as a brand new book or in a live CD album. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Ask for Who Told You That You Were Naked when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries, and be sure to specify book or CD album. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who were not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request Who Told You That You Were Naked when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to ask you to check out our helpline. It's open from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our number is 719-635-1111. And they will not only supply you with the materials that we offer, but they will also pray with you. They'll answer questions. They're just an invaluable resource. If you have questions and say, is there any other materials that covers this? These people can answer those questions. Plus, they all are born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with love. They are just awesome people. Man, we could be a blessing to you. So check it out, 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. The number is 719-635-1111.